So we get started today. I want to do some disclaimers. One of those is I just learned this week that there's a squeaky spot up here. And it drives some people crazy up here, but I have so much tunnel vision that I was unaware of that. So I'll try to not squeak too much today. The other thing is that I've got some bad singing I'm going to do and some bad jokes, and I think it's okay to do that if I tell you in advance, right? You know? Yeah. So, like, I know it's bad, so thank you for praying for my kids. It may be a little painful for them today. So they need it. They need it. I was thinking this week about how our state pastor in the Church of God in Indiana, his name's Doug Talley, that he had dinner with Jenny and I, and he talked to us about maybe coming to Meridian Church of God. And I remember one of the things that he said as I was looking around to try to get advice about what would be good to do. I was at a church at the time in Frankfort, Indiana. I had been there for 11 years. All my kids were born in that place, so it's the only place that we had known as a family of five. And it was hard. And one of the things that Doug said when I was looking for advice is, he's like, I don't think that there's a right or wrong decision. I wanted to do the right thing. But he said, I think if you go to Meridian in Indianapolis, that you will grow more. And that idea that he planted in my head was like a gnat that I couldn't quite get rid of. Every time I thought, you know, I don't know, I just heard Doug saying, you'll grow more. You don't want to be a chicken and run away from growth, do you? And I thought back to the first Sunday that Doug came here to Meridian with his wife Cindy, and afterwards they invited Jenny and I out to lunch, and we were kind of talking about how things were going, and Doug made the comment to me. He said, great, now we'll only have to wait 7 more years to know if you're having any sort of a positive impact. Just 7 years. And I thought, I didn't say it because you don't say these kind of things to Doug Talley, but I thought, you punked me. You punked me. You planted that thought. You knew I would go along with it. And now you're saying, just wait 7 years. Well, that story came back to me because this past week he sent out a newsletter to all the Churches of God congregations and pastors and different people in Indiana. And this is what he said. I do not want to relive the first 8 to 10 years of my pastoral ministry. And I thought, when you said 7, that was conservative estimate. Thanks, Doug. As I look back on that decade, it feels like one storm after another. If anything could go wrong, it did. Yeah, I got punked all right. Thanks, Doug. But what would you think if I told you right now that you're going to have 8 to 10 years of one storm after another? What if I told you in advance, and I think Pastor Brandon went through that a couple weeks ago, about would you want to know in advance all the things that were going to happen in 2020? He was undecided, I'm undecided too. But what would you say, how would you feel if a prophet, somebody who knew the future, was able to say to you, you know, for the next 8 to 10 years, next decade, it's going to be tough. One storm after another. And as we're looking at it, and in this season of COVID, right, where first it was, hey, we got shut down for a while, things will be going back by Easter, right? And then the summer, everything's going to be fine in the summer, it's going to heat up, and now we just don't really know, and that uncertainty of when. Now, there's a vaccine in process, but we don't know when it's going to come or how effective it will be. And so maybe even, because here's the thing, even if and when COVID goes away, the problems won't. There's going to be other kind of storms that come into our lives. This isn't the only problem that we're dealing with in the world. There's lots of other ones. So right now, do you feel discouraged? And if you do, don't blame me. Blame Doug Talley, okay? It's his fault. But what we're doing today is we're going to be looking into the scriptures that give us endurance and encouragement and hope. It's really important for these times and always. So we We're on week three of this series called, I think I'm squeaking, aren't I? We're on week three of this series called The Harvest. And so we've looked at different scriptures that talk about a harvest. So today we're going to look at what three influential people in the New Testament said that are related to a harvest. It's November, so it's a good month to do that. Is that okay, Dan? Okay, November's fine. November, October, somewhere in there for harvest. So we're going to do that. We're going to look at, again, these influential thinkers in the New Testament. And we're going to start with Jesus, because he's the best one, right? One of the parables that Jesus told was this. It's in Mark 4:26. It says this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. It's a parable Jesus had about a harvest. Next, we're going to look at something the Apostle Paul wrote. This is to the Corinthians. He says this, I planted the seed. He's talking about the seed of the gospel. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. All right, so there's a thought. And then another thought about this comes from Jesus' brother James, who wrote, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. So along with these three from the New Testament, there seems to be an idea. We're talking about a spiritual kind of harvest, something that's really good. The idea is that there's a person who plants and maybe waters, as Paul said, a seed, but that the God is the one who makes the seed grow. Now there's lots of different seeds that can be planted because not all seeds are gospel seeds, good news seeds, seeds of faith. Right, we live in a world where sometimes people will sow something. We say we kind of use sow and plant as synonyms or similar. But sometimes we talk about people who sow seeds of division. There are people who will sow those. Sow thoughts of anger. Sow seeds of doubt. There's that doubt. I'm going to make you doubt this. We talk about planting an idea, right? That's similar. An idea, it can be a seed, planting idea. Just like Doug Talley planted that idea with me. If you go to Meridian, you'll grow. So there are these things that happen where things are planted. So, and there's this principle of growth, too, that we find in these New Testament descriptions of a harvest, and it's this. Growth takes time. Growth rarely happens immediately. Growth is not just something that happens right at once, where all of a sudden a seed is planted and it's sprung up and it's full grown. Growth is not a microwave kind of a process. Growth is not like that. Imagine that you're planting we're going to call it a sunflower seed with a child. So it's a young child. Picture your grandkid, your kid, your neighbor, somebody, a young child, you plant a sunflower seed with. So imagine telling that child, look at this seed. Somehow, we're going to put this in the ground and maybe water it, and then we might fertilize it, but then it's going to become, this tiny seed is going to become this really big, beautiful sunflower. Imagine looking at that child and seeing the eyes of wonder as this child is trying to figure out how can that little seed become that beautiful sunflower. So you have the child come with you and the child helps you plant it. And you feel good about the work. The child was enthusiastic and excited and it can't wait to see this sunflower. And then after about a minute or so, you notice that the child changes from wonder and excitement to maybe sorrow or maybe anger. And the child says something along the lines of, you lied to me. You said that little seed would go into the ground and become a beautiful sunflower. Nothing happened. you lied to me. And you try to patiently explain to the child, you know, yeah, a sunflower is probably coming, but it takes time. You have to wait for it. You have to wait several days. So, yeah, so you got to be willing to wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Any Hamilton fans here? No? Okay. Not too many. But anyway, so you tell the child this, and the child, even after a day, it seems like it's just forever, and the child just gives up on it, doesn't believe you that it's going to grow. We have to be willing to wait for it a lot of times is one of the messages that we see with sowing or planting seeds, that it doesn't happen immediately. Usually it doesn't happen as fast as we want it to happen. We have to wait longer than we think. Now, for me, I have to confess that one of my typical sins is impatience. I want things to happen quickly. I want to do something and I want to see some results. And so this idea of patience and things taking time, like I don't even want to read the directions. I just want to get after it and get it. But one of the problems with impatience or expecting things too quickly is that leads to being discouraged too easily, because the time just hasn't yet come and I think it should be there and it's not there yet. So it leads to discouragement. And some of the thoughts that I have sometimes are, well, my seeds are no good. They don't work. Why even bother planting seeds? I'm not doing anything productive. Or sometimes the other thought is, the soil's no good. I'm planting seeds and the soil's just, there's something wrong with the soil. And it can lead to discouragement or it can lead to irritation. And it leads to not being willing to wait for it. Those kind of questions, I think, whether my seeds are any good or whether the soil won't work, I think a lot of times it's just above my pay grade. Because the calling is, I'm called to sow seeds. We follow Jesus, we're called to sow seeds. As it says, and as Paul said, it's only God who makes it grow. It's not anybody who's sowing the seeds, it's God. We can either sow seeds or not. But we sow, and God makes it grow. I want to look at one more thing that the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians. He says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh," again, we're going to sow some seed. It may not be a good seed. It may be a good seed, but whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Reaping and sowing will happen. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. I think the Apostle Paul wrote that to the churches in Galatia because the churches in Galatia needed to hear that. And I think maybe the Spirit of God preserved that for us to hear because we need to hear that. Sometimes we can be doing good and we can say, what's the point? Nothing's happening. I give up. Why keep watering this sunflower seed? Obviously nothing's happening. Why keep doing what I'm doing? It's not making any sort of a difference. Things just keep getting worse or nothing seems to be getting better. Why keep it up? Well, the Holy Spirit and through Paul seem to understand a part of our human dynamic of impatience. And to say, at the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't give up. And you're going to be tempted to give up along the way. There was a Harvard professor named Rosabeth Cantor who is credited with something called Cantor's Law, which says everything looks like a failure in the middle. Now, that's not true of everything, I know, but at least it is with seeds. Everything looks like failure in the middle. So even when right now you may be sowing some seeds and you don't see anything happening, but that's because it's just the middle. Doug said it's 8 to 10 years, 7 years before you ever know. Sometimes it's 8 to 10 generations. We just never know when a seed is going to work its way up through the soil and bloom. But there's a general principle. A lot of times, right in the middle, it looks like a failure. You're tempted to give up. You're tempted to think it's not working. But don't give up. Because when you sow, growth comes slow. So I even look back on my life, I can see there were just seasons of people, my parents or grandparents or pastor or youth pastor, people at church, people at school who would sow these seeds of me. Nothing, they seemed dormant. Seemed like they got caught up in weeds or strangled or scorched or whatever. But it has taken time for some of those seeds to get to the surface. Because when you sow, growth often comes slow, maybe even very slow. I remember sitting in a financial peace class. Dave Ramsey was talking about the most important, it's not a, I don't know, fables and parables, maybe they're the same, I don't know. But the most important fable to grasp to be financially responsible, and it was the tortoise and the hare. And in that famous parable, probably most of you are familiar with it. It's a ridiculous race, the very fast hare versus the very slow, prodding tortoise. And it starts just like you'd expect. The tortoise has no chance to win this one. And the hare, the race starts, the hare gets off to a huge start, and it's obvious he's going to win, so he just takes a nap. Because the tortoise is so slow. But then eventually, the hare's nap ends by hearing a bunch of cheering near the finish line. The tortoise is almost there. So the hare takes off again, but not in time. And the hare didn't lose that race at the beginning. In the beginning, there's excitement. And in the end, when you see that finish line, there's excitement. He didn't lose it at the end either. He lost it in the middle. He thought he had it won. He gave up. But the tortoise, that slow growth, is the one that crosses the finish line. And that is a parable that is so true to life so much of the time. So even if you're off to a slow start, don't be discouraged. Growth comes slow. Real growth. Growth that lasts. Growth that's meaningful. Growth that has a potential to have some real impact. It's slow. Maybe this morning as you're thinking, you recognize that the seed of the gospel has been slowly working in you. Again, maybe it started from your grandparents or your parents or people, somebody special. But maybe you start to recognize that seed has been working on you, the gospel. And maybe you rejected it at times or thought it was silly. But this is a time where that seed is really starting to make sense. It's right, starting to come to the surface. I think Alan, who prayed for me beforehand, has a similar testimony that the seeds of his family eventually just really won out. But if that's you, where you recognize, hey, that seed's been working, and I want to follow Jesus, I want to trust God, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. There's nothing magic in this prayer. It's just an acknowledgement of following Jesus, of embracing the gospel, the seed of that good news. So will you pray with me? God, you give life and make everything grow. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Help me so to please the Spirit of God so that I can follow Jesus and not grow weary in doing good on the way to the harvest. It's in Jesus' name, amen. There's seeds being planted right now. There's seeds that were planted 20 years ago, 50 years ago. And the question today is, how shall we live? How shall we live today? How can we apply this message if it's going to take so long? But remember, we can apply it. But remember, when you sow, growth comes slow. So let's sow generously. You might not see it overnight. You might not see it next year. You might not see it 5 years, 10 years from now. But when you sow, growth comes slow, and someday there will be a harvest of righteousness. So let's sow so generously. Let's be sowing some things that have meaning. Let's sow for some purpose. Let's sow in the middle while we wait on that happy ending. Let's sow with that ending in mind. I want to say, don't give up. How can we sow? Everyone has a seed. You have a seed. We all do. So what are some ways we can sow? Not literal seeds, but we have sowed. We can sow by giving. We can sow by being generous. That's a big part of it. We can sow by serving, looking at somebody and taking care of their needs. We can sow by speaking words of life. We can sow by living out love. We can sow by praying for someone. We can sow by listening to the word and then doing what it says. That's sowing. We can sow by seeking first the kingdom. We can sow by obeying what Christ says to us and by trusting him. That's sowing. We can sow. So, growth may be slow, but since God makes all things grow, let it sow, let it sow, let it sow. How's that, Josh? Okay, and maybe you're not like Josh and you think it's too early for Christmas music, and maybe you like Elsa, so I'll say, let it sow, can't hold it back anymore. All right, but let's keep that in mind, that we can let it sow. Well, we open with some words from Doug Talley. He didn't just say it was just 8 to 10 years that were bad and he hates it. So let me go back to what Doug wrote. He said this. But here is what I learned. He wrote that after acknowledging those 8 to 10 years were hard. As one storm after another, nothing went right. Here's what I learned. Even when the storm rages, let the storm rage on. God is still God and still faithful. He comes to our aid as we struggle. He holds us up when we can't stand. He gives us peace when circumstances are producing chaos. He gives wisdom when we have no clue what to do. He never abandons us, and he sprinkles blessings over, in, and around the crises. He makes us resilient. Though I would never want to repeat the first decade of ministry, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Last week, our own Doug Musgrove, reminded us with the words that God never gives up on us. He's patient. And really, when we're talking about slow, God really isn't slow. God's not slow. The thing is that God is patient with us. He wants to just keep giving us all these opportunities to turn to him. So even though it seems slow to us and our young child kind of a mindset and focusing on the temporary and focusing on a real limited perspective, God isn't really slow. As some understand slowness, he's patient. And love is first patient. Love is patient and kind. So in the middle, when it seems like the seed is a failure, and is actually when God is making things grow. God is patient and persistent. And even when we don't see it, and even when we don't feel it, God is working. God never stops working. So let's sow so generously. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, great is your faithfulness. We give thanks to you, for you are good. Your love endures forever. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. You are the one who makes seeds grow, and we seek you to grow in us. Holy Spirit, lead us to sow so generously. And help us not to become weary in doing good, remembering that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.